This is Stateside. I'm April Baer. When Broadway went dark due to the COVID-19 pandemic, the world jumped into action. Charities formed. Ghost lights illuminated darkened theaters. Zoom concerts were arranged, celebrating show tunes from Disney to Sondheim. But what happens to theaters outside of the Great White Way? Today we're continuing a summer series talking to theater companies all across the state. Encore Musical Theater Company is a nonprofit theater based in Dexter. Dan Cooney is the artistic director at Encore. He's worked as an actor in Broadway productions, and David Mohn is one of Encore's cast members, frequently seen at productions in Southeast Michigan. David, Dan, welcome.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you for having us.
Absolutely.
Dan, do you want to set out what you thought you were getting, you were setting out to do with Encore before the pandemic struck?
Yes. Well, you know, I basically got a phone call from an old friend about 14 years ago who really enjoyed a production of Sweeney Todd in Rhode Island, I believe. And they settled here in Dexter, really kind of came back home. I sang at their wedding 30 years ago. And they just thought, you know, there seems to be a slight lack of presence for musical theater. There's a lot of fantastic theater. Of course, there's a Purple Rose. The Performance Network was there at the time. Lots of plays and a few musicals. So she just felt like Ann Cook and Paul Cook really just felt like there was a space for some musical theater. And, you know, that's an absolute dream come true when somebody calls you and says, hey, I think I have a spot somewhere in the country where people will support a theater company and there's a need. So frankly, early on for me, it just sounded like a good time. And then I quickly realized that we got ourselves into something that required all of our, you know, heart, all of our intelligence, all of our time, all of our resources. So my wife and I, Jessica, is also a Broadway actor. We recently moved here to fulfill that which we discovered, right? But early on, I just thought, oh, wouldn't this be fun? I'll bring in some Broadway friends. We'll skip around on the stage. Everybody will be so impressed with us. It'll just be wonderful, right? And none of that was true. Obviously, it was very difficult. Raising money for a brand new theater company was quite challenging. And, you know, Michigan has an incredible talent pool. And there's no need to be so impressed with anybody coming in to skip around. So it was quite an education to come into the Michigan scene and become part of the community in a way that had a lot more integrity than just thinking we were something special because we had, you know, skipped around on Broadway. So it was quite an education. So really through just signing up for something that sounded like fun, you know, we all really learned how to be a part of a community and how to serve a community through theater and how to really get on top of patron stewardship and all that good stuff that makes the whole thing tick. So yeah, I guess in a nutshell, I signed up for what I thought would be a good time and then was quickly educated as to how theater actually works.
David, can you tell us a little bit about what was going on in the first stage of the COVID pandemic, what Encore was producing, and just what those first few months were like?
Absolutely. So the week that I would say we all became aware of COVID, the Encore Musical Theater Company had started rehearsals for Guys and Dolls. We got through the first six rehearsals. That was the first week. And that's, I think, the Thursday of that week is when Broadway went dark. And so we started talking about contingency plans. Maybe we can push back rehearsals for 2 weeks and give ourselves an opportunity to learn a little bit more about this. And then we unfortunately got the email that we'd have to postpone until all of this was under control. We had text conversations, Zoom calls with each other, all of us so hopeful that in a month or two, we'd get back to rehearsal. And then eventually we all realized that that particular iteration of Guys and Dolls was not going to happen as we thought it would be. And that all of our creative energy had to kick in because we said goodbye to the theater world as we knew it and had to reinvent very quickly to make sure that we could stay relevant and stay afloat during this scary time.
The thing that is so crazy about this to me is that if there's one thing theater people know how to do, it's react in a crisis. Mm-hmm. hey, let's put on a show, you know? It's, yep. You know, there are benefits for, you know, major disasters. There are people, including, I'm sure, Dan and Jessica, who are long enough in the tooth to remember September 11th and the horrible, horrible shock, and then, you know, how people came back together. And yet this was so different because it was like a slow motion car accident. Dan, how did that challenge what you were thinking about both programmatically and financially?
You know, it's interesting. We have been extremely fortunate because we were moving into a new building. So, you know, and I say this gently because I know theater folk have been through hell, but we were very fortunate to be moving into a new space. So it really just allowed us to focus on the renovation, the Our Next Stage campaign. We've raised $1.6 million in the middle of a pandemic to make this new space a reality. So the fact that we weren't producing out of the old garage and building a new theater at the same time was a bit of a mixed blessing. So really the worst of it for us was just ticket revenue wasn't there. But we had such a successful Our Next Stage. We're still in the middle of it. You know, we will accept gifts. It's not over. But we've been very successful with the campaign and allowed us just to put all of our focus on getting into the new space, which is absolutely gorgeous and four times as large as the old space. There's some actual space in which artists can function and their potential can be realized.
Well, what I'm curious about is literally how you functioned financially. I mean, was there just a reliance on individual donors? What was available in terms of philanthropic support?
The Moss Foundation gave us a $500,000 gift for the new space. It was all about the new space. Nobody was throwing money at us to pay actors or to... We did get a couple of grants, the PPP loans. So we were able to keep a couple people, you know, on staff part-time, but the majority of that money, that $1.6 million, was given through about 10 very large gifts through individuals and one foundation. And then since that original, you know, like say $900,000, it's been hundreds, if not thousands, of individuals giving anywhere from $100 to, you know, $5,000. So it has been people that really have grown to love what the Encore does. They kept us alive. And in the old space, we didn't do a lot of asking. We didn't have a large annual giving campaign. So we didn't have a whole lot to defend, so to speak, right? So I didn't feel obligated to put out a lot of online activity or programming. We really just focused on the Our Next Stage. We have a new building. We're still here. We'll be back. Yeah, it's kind of bizarre, isn't it? Doesn't sound like that should have happened.
Yeah. If you're just joining in, we're talking about the return of Michigan's theater scene. My guests are Dan Cooney and David Moan of Encore Musical Theater Company based in Dexter. David, I have to ask, I've had a chance to talk to several musicians about how they've been making it through, and there are some crazy stories, but how did you get through this time financially?
Barely. would be the shortest answer. It certainly, some of the expansions with unemployment have been super helpful. I know in the past, gig workers, as I'm sure the other musicians have been referred to as, there's a complication when it comes to that in terms of when we're working and when we're not. So thankfully, I feel like as a country, we somewhat rallied behind our artists and realized that in a way that other institutions were burdened with thinking in new ways, our lifestyle and our occupation disappeared. The possibilities just weren't there. So a lot of it has been piecing things together. I've done several Zoom plays and concerts. One of the cool things last summer we realized at the Encore is that we had an outdoor space that we could utilize. So we produced some socially distanced, masked up, live concerts. They were very different than expected. You are at the mercy of Mother Nature and grumpy neighbors, but it was definitely worth it in terms of being able to provide live music. Yeah, so it really became kind of the actor's dream and actor's nightmare that we do whatever we can to survive. And just as you said earlier, that's something that we're kind of used to, is working under a crunch and under pressure.
Yeah, I think one of the worst kept secrets in the American theater is the fact that actors and directors and, you know, designers and crew who are very busy people and who show up in a lot of productions and who win a lot of awards often, you know, even the ones who are doing really well don't make very much money. I know people who have their equity cards who are on food stamps, not because of the pandemic, but just as a matter of course. And Dan, I'm sure you can tell us some horror stories of surviving in New York on, you know, in theater and with the cost of living there.
It's interesting. You know, when we put Encore together in 2008, you know, truly people looked at us like we were absolutely insane. It was not a great time, but being an actor, I was out of work every 6 months and then back in work and then out of work. That was my life for 30 years. So I was pretty ignorant to the rest of the world in that way. I had no fear whatsoever of being out of work. So, you know, I think, you know, Jessica's the same way, but we're also very fortunate. We have a lot of support. And again, I want to be super sensitive in how we talk about how this wasn't so difficult for Encore or, you know, Dan and Jessica. We're just very fortunate. We're very privileged. Sure. But yes, I'm used to being out of work. I'm an actor. You know, so you collect unemployment and then you get a gig and then you jump on the gig. And either a year later or 3 months later, you're back on unemployment. That's just part of the, and I've waited tables. I've done construction work. And now I'm an artistic director. Imagine that.
Well, let's talk about the reopening. I can only imagine how excited everybody is to get back on stage for summer and fall. Dan, can you explain what you have planned? I mean, is it a slow return to normal theater, or are you just diving right back in there?
It is a slow return in that we did a summer series, but this time indoors. And it's so thrilling to be indoors with this new state-of-the-art equipment and this gorgeous new building. But we still are uncertain, like, who knows what kind of variants are creeping up. So the summer series allows us to provide excellent entertainment. And we're kind of taking a stroll through, you know, Broadway history in, you know, some loose way. We started with a Golden Age show, Some Enchanted Evening, and then we did a Simply Sondheim. These are just three or four shows per concert. And then we're going to do a Be Our Guest, Standard Time. David and I are both in Standard Time. We're going to give you a little fill my heart with song and let me, you know, that kind of good stuff. And then a Broadway Rocks. Jessica is going to do a Jess and Judy, singing the songs of Judy Garland.
Oh,
quick, funny story. She's actually off right now. They called from Pittsburgh CLO and said, hey, Jessica, are you available in the next few weeks? And I was like, oh, how lovely. They're going to hire, you know, probably one of the most famous Dorothy's alive right now. She toured with Eartha Kitt and did an album with of Wizard of Oz with Eartha Kitt and Mickey Rooney. And I said, how lovely. They're going to hire Jessica to be Glinda. Nope. They offered her Dorothy. So she's almost, well, I won't give her age, but she's not 16. And she's off to do Dorothy and Wizard of Oz in a football stadium in concert at Pittsburgh CLO. So that's kind of fun. So Jess and Judy, she's going to come and do the, Judy Garland has been a major influence on her style, her way, her career. And then our final show is No Day But Today, all the contemporary musicals. So that allows us to, you know, for a fraction of the price of a large book musical, offer some really high quality entertainment without a large risk, because we would be in trouble if we tried to open up another Guys and Dolls, you know, $150,000 investment, and then that shut down again.
Sure.
But come September, we are launching into a full season. And I'll tell you, the first two shows, we haven't announced it yet, but we have Jerry McIntyre, a dear friend of ours. We call him the mayor of Broadway. He's also choreographing this Wizard of Oz with Jessica. He's coming in to choreograph Smokey Joe's Cafe for us. And then Tony Walton, who was Julie Andrews' first husband, which is actually an insult as a way of introducing him, because he has won numerous Tony Awards and Oscars for his work as a designer on such movies as like The Wiz and Mary Poppins and, you know, gosh, 30 Broadway shows. So he's going to come direct Guys and Dolls. So Smokey Joe's Cafe and then Guys and Dolls will launch us into our new season. And there's three or four other shows as a part of that new season starting in September. So we'll get back into a legit season pretty soon here. But it is a bit of a slow go through the summer with this concert series. And that was very much on purpose because I don't know how you all are feeling, but I'm not feeling completely settled down just yet.
Well, that was my next question. The only live performances that I've been able to attend so far were distance things that Detroit Opera put together. Have either of you been to a show lately? Like, what are people like with each other?
I've actually had the great fortune to perform in several shows. Actually, one of them was with the Michigan Opera Theater out at Meadowbrook. Just recently, I sang in the chorus there.
Cavalier Rusticana, yeah.
Absolutely, yes. Just a beautiful piece. And that being outside and still somewhat socially distanced, I've done the first two concerts, one of which was unexpected, but at the Encore, the Golden Age musical in the Sondheim. And there is definitely a hesitation at first at how normal it feels. That's the sense that I get from the audience, is that there's a comfort in coming home to theater and not experiencing the new Netflix documentary or listening to a podcast, but actually being in the same room as people who are creating art, or being in the same outdoor space as people creating art. And what I find is, as the nights go on, people tend to relax and they return to the joy that we tend to find in theater. As a performer, what I can say, it feels like I've gotten myself back. Like I've returned to who I was. Although I have all of the knowledge and change of the past year and a half, I am back to what I love to do for the people that I love to do it for. And there's just such an energy and appreciation both on stage and off that I think is new and revitalized in a way because we all had to give it up for a little while. So I think there's still some hesitancy. You'll see maybe a quarter of the audience still wearing masks in the same way that I wear masks at the grocery store. But people start to shake hands and give hugs, and we're able to talk to each other about how much we love theater and how much we appreciate the art form. I just think we need that more than ever.
David Mohn, you'll remember his turn as Sweeney Todd at Encore Musical Theater Company, and he will be part of the next season's performances. We've also been talking today with Dan Cooney, the artistic director of Encore. And guys, it's been such a pleasure, and thank you for keeping the lights on. We're looking forward to seeing you this summer and fall.
Oh, pleasure is all ours. Thank you.
Thank you.